السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu called for Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu and told him that, O Abu Talha, Allah Ta'ala has strengthened Islam with your people, meaning with the Ansar. So choose 50 men from the Ansar and keep encouraging this group to choose a man from among themselves. In other words, that six that Umar radiallahu anhu had chosen, that they must choose a Khalifa from amongst them. Now he called Abu Talha and he said, choose 50 Ansar and tell them they must keep encouraging this group of six that they must choose an Amir, choose a Khalifa amongst themselves. He then directed Miqdad bin Aswad radiallahu anhu that when you place me in my qabr, gather this group of men in a house. In other words, the six, right? Gather them in one house until they choose a man from among themselves. And he gave them a cutoff, as we learned earlier, of 3 days. And in 3 days, the decision must be made. So this is how Umar radiallahu anhu ended his Mubarak life. The calamity which had afflicted him and the throes of death did not preoccupy him from continuing to run the affairs of the Muslims. Despite him being stabbed fatally, now what pain he must have been in, what difficulty he must have been experiencing, right? But that too didn't stop him from his duties, the concern for the Ummah. Right? We see a small picture of this in our Akabirin, in our pious people. You take the Hazrat Muhammad Hamid Sahib, it's so difficult for him to just stand up. But that's not stopping him from traveling and going town to town, place to place, to spread the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Mohan Shabbir Saruji Sahib, cancer patient, right, undergoing so much of treatment, but it doesn't stop him from continuing with his works. Mufti Ibrahim Saraji Sahib, Mufti Sahib currently, his family is not well at all. She too got cancer. Allah Ta'ala make it easy, give her shifa kamila. But that's not stopping him. His life is carrying on as normal. What time he goes to teach, where he has programmed, everything is carrying on as normal. So this is what is meant, that you continue till your last breath. It's only after we pass away, then now you can stop. Now even if you don't want to stop, you have to stop. Once your life is gone. But until then, you have to continue. This, new kind of attitude, no, we need a weekend, we need a break, we need a holiday. That's a kufar lifestyle. That's not ours. That's not. Where you found Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no man, hey now, you know, this year I worked very hard now, I went taif and all this I did now, so end of the year, man, I need to take a break now, you know. You know, my family too, they also deserve some family time and some, you know, so I need to go for a holiday. So never mind now, you'll look after Madina Munawara, you'll take care of things here, and I'm going on a holiday. You ever heard that? You heard any sahabi say, right, no, I'm going on a holiday now. Yeah? This holiday and all that, this is a kuffar concept. It's not our concept. I must go book in somewhere, spend thousands of rands, and go and have a party and a good time and come. That's not our lifestyle. Our holiday is in Jannat. Our holiday is in Jannat. I'm not saying you can't, you know, you mustn't spend family time. No, you must give your family time. Everything you must do, there must be a balance. But we don't live for that. That's not what we live for. Like the kuffar, they live for their holiday. Whole year they're saving up. So end of the year they must go on one terrific holiday now. That's not our life. That's not our life. Gee. he established a new workable process of mashwara, right, which didn't have any precedent. See, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he just indicated who must be his khalifa, he didn't appoint. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he openly appointed. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he created a shura council. Shura council. Gee. There is no doubt that the basic principle of mashwara is established in the Quran Sharif and the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the amal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu used to make mashwara. In the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala tells, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Allah says you must make mashwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, whenever any important decisions, everything, used to make mashwara with the sahaba radiallahu anhum. So it wasn't something that he innovated. He just used what Allah Ta'ala said, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he created a shura council. And he said, now you all make mashwara amongst yourself and choose an amir from amongst you. Then he even left advice for the new khalifa. He left advice for the new khalif. Today's times you find this, because this also a kuffar concept. We, everything the kuffar do, we want to lick it up, we want to ape it. So the kuffar now, for example, if a lady, now she may be not too old or something, and she's diagnosed with cancer, right? So the doctors tell her, well, you know what now, you only got 3 years to live, or 2 years to live, or 6 months to live, or whatever. You know, they make their assessments looking at how aggressive the cancer is. We know life and death, this is in Allah Ta'ala's hand, right? So anyway, now this lady, what they do now? Before, they used to write letters. Now they make videos. Now they make videos. So what they do, they write down. Now say she got a child who's 10 years old, right? She got another one who's 8 years old. So now she'll write a letter. Okay, today is your 11th birthday, right? You may be doing this. I bought this present for you for this birthday. Right? Now she'll buy all that before she passes away. Right? And now she'll say one, two things, right? And now that must be kept. Then she'll do a 12th birthday, 13th birthday, or today you must be turned 18 now, 21 now. That child may pass away before her. But she's already got all these letters now sorted out. Right? So now the husband will, all this will be given to the husband now, amanat. Right? Now every year, when it's a birthday, you must give that child this thing. When the child passes school exam, you give this one. Pass, eh? So the kuffar do this thing. Nowadays, they make videos. They make videos, they put in the folders. So now the husband now, it's his duty, he must give it to the children. So now I see Muslim people today doing this thing. Muslim people. Anything the kuffar do, Muslim people today, they follow it. Right? We must worry about the deen of our children. Make dua for our children. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu. He's passing away too, but he's leaving advices that whoever, he doesn't even know who's going to be elected as the Amir, as the Amirul Mu'mineen, the next Khalifa. But he's leaving advices for him. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he passed away, he left advices for the Ummah. This is what we should be doing. So this is the advice that he wrote. He said, I advise you to fear Allah Ta'ala alone. The first advice. Have taqwa. Fear Allah Ta'ala alone, who has no partners. I recommend that my successor, my khalif, the one who now is coming after me, he must take care of the muhajirun. All the muhajir sahaba, look after them. Understand their rights and protect their honor and their sacred things. I also recommend that he be kind to the Ansar. I recommend that the ruler should accept the good of the righteous among them and excuse their mistakes. And I recommend that he should do good to all the people of the towns. Meaning all, whoever is in his, who are his subjects, he must be good to them. They are the protectors of Islam and the source of wealth and the source of annoyance to the enemy. Because they are in the boundary towns now. I also recommend that nothing be taken from them except from their surplus. Whatever extras they got, take the zakat, everything from there. Don't take more than that from them, because they are doing a very great service to the Muslim Ummah. I also recommend that he do good to the Bedouins, all the Bedouins living in the villages in the desert, as they are the origin of the Arabs and the material of Islam. He should take from what is inferior amongst their properties and distribute that to the poor amongst them. They don't go take, for example, if the person is a farmer, right? Now he's farming goats, for example. Now he needs to pay zakat of 3 goats, for example. He got so many goats now, the zakat that he has to give is 3 goats. Now don't go and take his stud goat. Don't go take his best ewes, because you're going to cause harm to him. Go and take some average animals, you know, normal ones. That will suffice as his zakat. Give it to the poor, they need it for meat. Right? So they'll slaughter it and they'll eat it. Don't go take his prized animals now, you'll cause him harm. I also recommend him concerning the protectees of Allah Ta'ala, meaning the zimmis, those who are living in the Muslim lands. So must look after them, fulfill their contracts, and fight for them, and do not overburden them with what is beyond their ability. Now, although they were non-Muslims living in a Muslim country, but he said, look after them also. Provided that they pay their jizya. They must pay their jizya and you take care of them. I advise you to be fearful of Allah Ta'ala and beware of Allah. You should fear that Allah Ta'ala may abhor you if he finds you doing something detestable, because he knows everything. I advise you to fear Allah Ta'ala regarding the people and not to fear the people regarding Allah Ta'ala. Fear Allah Ta'ala regarding the people. Don't fear the people regarding Allah Ta'ala. I advise you to be just to your subjects and immerse yourself in taking care of their needs and your borders and your frontiers. Do not prefer the rich over the poor, as this will protect your heart with Allah's permission. If you start only worrying about the rich and you neglect the poor, your heart will get destroyed. But if you take care of the poor also and the rich, your heart will be protected. Lessen your burden and better your akhirah when you meet the one who knows your secrets and he comes between you and your heart. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? I order you to be strict with everyone, far or near, when it comes to enforcing the law of Allah Ta'ala and the hudud of Allah. There you don't be lenient, you must be strict. Do not be lenient in applying the law on anyone until you enforce the punishment upon him, which is commensurate with his crime. Whatever crime he did, whatever punishment Allah Ta'ala has decreed for that crime, make sure you carry it out. Let all people be equal in your eyes. Do not be worried about the social status of the one who deserves punishment. And do not fear the blame of the blamers about your duties to Allah Ta'ala. Beware of favoritism in distributing what Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon the Muslims and placed you in charge of it, lest you act tyrannically and oppressively. Stay away from favoritism as much as Allah Ta'ala has enabled you to. You have arrived at a certain stage between this world and the Akhirah. So if you act justly and virtuously in this world, about what is under your control, you will earn faith and Allah's pleasure. If, however, you are overwhelmed by your desires, you shall earn the wrath of Allah Ta'ala. I advise you not to let yourself or others oppress the zimmis in lieu of, don't oppress them, because they are staying in our country, they're paying the jizya. So they got certain rights. So don't make zulm upon them. I have advised you exclusively and sincerely. Hence, seek Allah Ta'ala's pleasure in this life. Right? Seek Allah Ta'ala's pleasure and seek the akhirah. Right? By following this advice. I have chosen the same guidelines for you which I had chosen for myself and my son. If you act upon what I advised you and do what I ordered, you would gain the most from it. If you do not accept the advice, do not give it a care, and you neglect most of the things which may please Allah Ta'ala, it would be a degradation for you. In other words, you will fall down. You will be disgraced. In that case, your views would become disordered, since base desires are common to all men. In other words, your nafs will take over. Shaitan is the fountainhead of sins who calls to all destruction. He led the previous generations astray and he led them to Jahannam. Indeed, that is an evil place to be led to. What an evil price to pay that a person should be loyal to Allah's enemy, Shaitan. Shaitan calls a person towards the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And then he distorts and covers up the truth. So how can a person go in that direction? Be sincere to yourself. I implore you in Allah Ta'ala's name to be merciful to the Muslims. Honor the elderly. Be kind to the young. And have respect for the ulama. Do not hit them, otherwise they will feel humiliated. Do not make them angry by giving some of them undue preference over the others when distributing war booty. Do not hold back their appropriate grants lest you impoverish them. In other words, whatever has been allocated from the Baytul Mal, don't hold that back, because then you're going to make people poverty stricken. When they become poverty stricken, then now they're frustrated, right? Do not roast them in the front lines lest their succession gets stopped. In other words, don't overburden them. Eh? Keep changing your army, send a group, call them back, send another group. Do not let the state's wealth be distributed only among the wealthy Muslims. Do not shut your doors to them, otherwise the strong among them will eat up the weak. This is my advice to you, and I take Allah Ta'ala as a witness over you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this was the whole advice that Umar radiallahu anhu gave to whoever was going to be his successor. So if you look at this advice, it covers religious sub aspects, it covers enforcing Allah Ta'ala's laws on near ones, far ones, it covers having istiqamat, it covers political aspects, military aspects, financial and economic aspects, social aspects, right? It covers all these things. So, we will leave it till today, inshallah. We'll continue on this. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته